Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I enjoyed that worship. You know, the presence of God is here. He is here. He is here right now. Hallelujah. Sometimes I have to tell you that it's a little bit difficult to get up here because all I want to do is sit and worship, just like y'all. I want to do the same thing. But I feel like the Lord has said, you know, I've got a little bit of I need to share with you this morning. Amen. And before I get into it, last week we had what we call Holy Spirit Sunday. And I think most of you were here. And we had an altar call at the end of the service. One which I have not seen before. This altar call was for those who know they have a call to ministry. That was most of the church. There was between 50 and 60 people up here. And I want to tell you, you know, I spoke to you about the seriousness of what you're answering and that it's going to cost you. It's a life change. This is big. This is nothing to scoff at. It's a big deal. And we all made a commitment that way. But what I sensed, and I shared this with the staff, what I sensed was a shift in our church. And I don't know where it's all going just yet. But I sensed that the seriousness of the realization that most of our church has that there is a call to ministry on their life. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be a pastor or a teacher or a prophet or an apostle or an evangelist. It could. But it means you have a call on your life, that God has placed a specific call on your life that is going to be what is going to fulfill you and be kingdom work. And you're going to draw people to you now. That's the reality. You're going to see gifts begin to come forth that you didn't know you had. You're going to see possibilities and doors opened up for you to step in. And I want to tell you, do not hold back. Don't hold back. But step. Because God, you know, has spoken to you. And He will back you up. And you will begin to see things that you never dreamed you'd see. Do things you never dreamed you would do. But I cannot impress on you enough the seriousness of what you agreed to when you answered that call. The Lord's serious about it. My heart is that you stay serious too. In this shift, it was a spiritual shift. We teach the word here. And we have since the beginning. We are a word church and we teach the grace of God. And faith and His unconditional love and righteousness. But there's also a work for us all to do. Every one of us, particularly in these last days, you just joined up big time. Amen? Amen? Amen. I mean, you just really joined up. Amen. And so, welcome, my brothers and sisters, because things are going to change in your life. Now, I want to encourage you to grow all you can, get everything you can. That's why we offer what we do. But get everything you can, all right? Don't hesitate to ask questions of any of us, all right? Amen. Okay. We're not on television. No, we are on YouTube. We're not on television. You can ask us. We're not somebody you can't reach, right? Okay. Praise God. Okay. Word time. I'm going to try to make this shorter. because I want you all to get out of here. I'm saying that in love. If you've been a volunteer, we want to thank you today, but we need you to get out of here, okay? And get over to Weber's and get situated. The meal starts, we start at 1 with coffee. The meal actually starts at 1:30, so you got a little bit of flex time. There'll be no fellowshipping in here today. Or staying late. We're trying to make it so everybody gets out of here and we can lock up and get over there. All right? Okay. So if you're not a volunteer, I'm sorry, but this is not for you. And I'm not talking to guests. But I want to encourage you, if this is your church, volunteer. We're very grateful. But we also believe that this is how, we don't do membership, but this is being a part of the family. This is being family, right? Everybody has a role. Everybody has a job. Everybody has a part. It's the body working together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So the title today is called Never Ending Supply. Never Ending Supply. Doesn't that sound good?
No.
Never ending supply. Never quits. Never stops. Never hesitates. Never gets backed up. There's no supply chain issues. You know that the government and businesses and the experts, I always love the experts. You know, the experts are some of the most negative people I have ever read in my life.
Amen.
The experts have no faith. And the experts have forecast that we are going to have supply chain problems, that there's going to be lack right through the next year. Transportation issues, shipping issues, manufacturing issues, getting chips into the automobiles, all this kind of stuff. The store shelves aren't going to be stocked. Looks like Russia right after the wall fell. Well, that's the forecast for the world. We're in it, but we're not of it, aren't we? Because even though the world has supply issues and keep forecasting that, if you get your head out of that, you're going to realize that the kingdom of God has no supply problems. None. It is never-ending supply to us. Never. That's in everything. That's in everything. Now, don't get all carnal on me here and start thinking about, you know, I got to have a new car tomorrow, you know, just because I want one. Well, you may or may not. What's God got for you? Whatever it is, it's going to be the best for you right now. But the supply will always, always be there. You know, when they had this run on toilet paper, it was the silliest thing I've ever seen. Wasn't it? Toilet paper became a commodity. It became a thing that you could barter with. Toilet paper! Listen, the kingdom of God has no lack of toilet paper. You know, God can get toilet paper to you. The never-ending supply is a part of our salvation. Comes with it, right? Salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity, preservation. The supply of God is consistent, is constant, and is uninterrupted for us. Always. If you're looking at the world and the crocodile tears of the world because we're not going to get, or they're not going to get all their stuff, they're not thinking kingdom. They couldn't. Because if you're not born again, the supply won't be there. But if you are, you know God never abandons his kids, right? This never-ending supply, according to Galatians 3, verse 26, Galatians 3, 26, says that we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Everybody. Everybody. Everybody, by faith, is a son of God. God doesn't let his sons, daughters, go without. He does get it to us. May not be exactly what we want all the time, but the supply is always there and it will always be right. By faith. Because we are sons and daughters of God. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." What is that power? When you think about it, what is that power that works in us? Power of faith? Confidence in him? He gives exceedingly abundantly, uninterruptedly, above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power of faith? There's several ways I could go in this, but I want to just focus on faith right now. The thing that we don't do a lot of times is we just don't believe him. And we get sidetracked into all these things that are happening in the world. Oh, we don't have toilet paper. Oh, no. Costco doesn't have anything. What am I going to do? The store is out of everything. You know, I'm going to have to beg, borrow, or steal some from the next restroom I go into. Oh, come on. Lord, you're bigger than the toilet paper supply. You are. You're bigger. You can get it to me. But unfortunately, we put our eyes and our hearts on what the world says, because very subtly, this is what happens. We get sidetracked in our faith. And that exceeding abundance that he has for the sons and daughters is still there. We just don't receive it because we don't believe it. Because our first thought, not everybody, but our first thought typically is not, God's got me covered. I'm going to lose my job. I got to get a vaccine and I'm going to make a stand and I'm not going to get the shot. I'm going to lose my job, and it's happening. I'm going to quit. Nobody can force me to take that. I lose my job. I lose my income. I lose my retirement. I lose my insurance. What am I going to do? God will take care of me.
Hallelujah.
God will take care of me. Jesus died for me so that I could enter into the kingdom. When I entered into the kingdom by faith in Jesus Christ, I entered into all the supply he has for me. Okay, so the Lord says, now remember, we went through this vaccine thing a little while ago. If the Lord said to you, take it, because there's a whole lot of challenges to your Christianity, to your faith coming bigger than this. If he says take it, just take it. But take it in faith. Don't take it without faith. If he says don't take it, I'm not taking it. If he says don't take it, make your stand. But when you make your stand, whenever you do it, now or later on, because you're going to make a stand at some point. And the world, the government, the corporations, the banks, whoever they are, probably going to cut you off. Hey, listen, I started getting Social Security this year. Will the government mandate to everybody getting Social Security? You got to get a shot or you lose your Social Security. Wait a minute, I paid in for that. Yeah, but you don't have it. We're in control. Get a shot. All right, Lord, you'll supply, won't you? Yeah. I'm going to tell you that Rosie and I have chosen to live by faith in God's supply for a long time. He has never let us down. Never. And he will never let you down. He'll never let anybody down. Ever, because he can't help being faithful. God is faithful when people aren't. People don't keep their word. But God can't help but keep his word. We'll go on more with this. He gives exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. This is unconditional. There is no buts in there. You can't place a but in there. He gives exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. Now, I do want to say this, that this is not just material things. You understand that this is all part of our salvation. This happens with healing and emotionally, spiritually, the revelation, the blessings, the understanding, the relationship, the emotional healings that many of us need. Jesus, you know, when he came to heal the brokenhearted, Luke 4:18, that really was for the world, because the whole world is broken. Some just don't know it. Physically, materially, he gives exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to that power that works in us. Hebrews 11:6, I think most of you know this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he or she who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, a big rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I mean, listen, diligence is being, I'm going to be serious. I'm not playing around. We were talking this morning in the healing Bible study, and ultimately, I'll tell you my interpretation of being serious, and that's not pulling heaven down to me. That's me pulling myself up to heaven. That is me sticking my head, my face up in heaven, in his glory, in his majesty, in his power, in who he is and his reality. That's what it is. It's believing him. It's seeking him this way. It's having this kind of relationship. It's living like this. It's not so-so. It's not part-time. It's full-time, full-out. And God supplies every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Always. Philippians 4:19. My God. Now, Paul was speaking to the Philippians who gave out of their hearts to support him. He said, he turned it right around and he gives them a word. And this word is true, was true for them and it's true for us. And my God shall supply all your need in every way according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you have a need? I have things come up. Do you have a need? Where do you go? Go to him or go to the store? Go to him or go to the government? What do we do? Here's a couple of more promises. Psalm 37, verses 25 and 26. Psalm 37, verses 25 and 26. David, King David, mighty King David, who went from a measly shepherd to the King of Israel, and a very wealthy man, a conqueror, a warrior, a king, a just and righteous, godly man after his heart. He said, I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus, speaking about being the good shepherd. And Rosie, Pastor Rosie, honey, was sharing with me. We were out walking and talking with the Lord. And walking with each other, and she was giving me the Pastor Rose rendition of Psalm 23. And Jesus as the shepherd. And it was powerful. You have to ask her about it. It was powerful. And Jesus has presented himself as the good shepherd. Well, if he's good, he can't be bad.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
And he outlines this in a statement. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. Now that sounds like lack to me. Yes, the devil. You know the devil can't do anything without your okay, right? You know he's got no power, right? You know he's been stripped. You know he's a zero. You know the only thing he can do is speak a lie. He's got no power. Zip. Zippo. Do you understand?
Yes, yes.
The only power that the devil has is what you give him. When people get demonized or oppressed, they've given themselves to him in some way, and he's gotten a lock in there. And that's how you deal with that with them when you go cast something out. I'm getting a little off the track here, but I want you to understand, the devil has no power. We give him way too much. The only thing he can do is lie. And so, the thief, if he lies to you about lack, or please panic, please, I want you to freak out. There's absolutely no reason to go to the Lord. To go read the Word. You've got to go see what you can do about this. And if you can't do anything, please worry. Please. The thief does not come to steal, except to steal, kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, why aren't we living the abundant life? This has got to be rhetorical. This can't be a Bible study. Sorry. Why aren't we living the abundant life? Because we don't really believe. Or we haven't set our minds to kingdom thinking where there is never-ending supply. This abundant life, this is eternal life, yes, and everything that comes with it. That means the supply of all we need. In every way, is already met.
Yes.
Do we understand that everything we need when we hit upon it, whatever that need is already met?
Yes.
It's already met.
Praise God.
But we don't default to that. We default, we have a tendency to default, to panic. And what am I going to do? I've lost my job. Oh no. I've lost my benefits. I wrecked my automobile. I'm going to run out and get a lease. Oh, wait a minute. Did you ask the Lord? Did you seek Him and seek His kingdom first and His righteousness so that He could add to you? Rosie and I have this little red car. And we bought, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. I hate red. I really do. I absolutely hate red. I'm sorry, this is my confession and I'm sticking to it. I don't like red cars. I mean, personally. I never wanted a red car. I never wanted anything to do with a red car. Just please keep red cars away from me. And the Lord said, this is the car I have for you. And you know, it's been great. I wanted to get rid of it. I've been looking for reasons. I said, Lord, I think we need a newer car now. It's 10 years old. It's 10 years old, Lord. He said, no, I want you to keep it for a couple more years. There's stuff coming. I've got another one for you. But hold on to it. This is before Corona hit. People can't get automobiles. The supply is there, and it's always there. It may not be what you want when you want it. So what? The Lord always takes care of us and supplies exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to that power that works in us. Will we believe Him? Will we default to Him when we have a need? You know, right now things are kind of getting back on track. Aren't they? Kind of getting back on track with the stores. Yeah, there's some stuff missing. Yeah, there's some stuff you can't get. Yeah, there's interruptions in some of the supply chain. Yeah, some of the shipping can't come in. Yeah, some of the manufacturers still can't make stuff. Yeah. Well, I want to tell you, there's more hiccups coming. They just are. So what are you going to do? When they come, when it happens, say you need an automobile, or say you need a toilet paper, whatever it is, are you going to go to the Lord? Let me give you one more. When Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly, that means in every way. It really does. He said this. He meant it. He never goes back on His word, ever. And this is for us who will believe, if we just believe Him. I know the need is met, Lord, because You said You would supply all my need according to Your riches and glory. And You came to give me life, life, and life more abundantly in every way. So what do I do? How do I do this? Get a little red car. No, I'm kidding. Psalm 5, verse 12 says, For You, O Lord, will bless the righteous. Now this is looking forward to the cross. You will bless the righteous. With favor, You will surround him as with a shield. Do you ever think about, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right now. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Right?
Yes.
You all know this, right? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Because you are born again. You're sons and daughters of God. And you are His righteousness. You may not feel like it. You may have not done everything perfect. But you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right now. And because of that, you have favor. You are surrounded with favor. Like a shield. When you walk along and you bump into somebody, oh, my favor shield just hit you. I have favor when I walk into work. I have favor when I go to the store. You know what? I've got favor. I got a favor bubble all around me. All the time. I live in God's favor. Because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what I default to. Is He going to take care of us? Yeah, He came to give us life abundantly, more abundantly than we can have or we can do. Sure He did. Here's another one. To all of us who have given up our lives to follow Jesus, whether you have a ministry call or you don't. Mark 10, verses 29 and 30. Jesus answered His disciples when they said, Hey, we gave up everything to follow You. What do we get? After He got done talking to the rich young man who said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not giving up everything. We gave up everything, Jesus. What about us? Verse 29, Jesus answered and said, Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for My sake and the Gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, in the age to come you get eternal life. You think He meant it? You think He meant it for you? Or just other people? That's abundant life. But it's because we've given up our lives to follow him. And it's because we are following him. We're not following the world. We're not following anybody else. We're following Jesus. We're living for him. God gave his word to us. And so often, so often others that I speak with don't really take his word too serious. I mean, yeah, kind of, sometimes when they want to. Or when they're desperate and looking for, trying to hold the horns of the altar and say, God, I'm going to shake this altar until you give me what I need. That's not the way it works. The need's already been met. The Lord says in Isaiah 55, Isaiah quotes verses 10 and 11, quotes the Lord, and he says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie. People lie all the time. Nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Unlike people, God always keeps his word. If you're dependent on people, it's hit and miss. If you're depending and relying and really truly trusting the Lord, it's a sure thing. He always takes care of his kids. There's a never-ending supply. All our need. Nothing is out of question. Nothing. Nothing is off the table. Nothing. Nothing. If you take a look at the history of God's supply, I mean, you can go to Exodus and look at God's supply for over a million people of bread and meat and water. Enough to sustain them. Nehemiah chapter 9 says their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. I mean, they weren't in the greatest fashion, right? And we didn't have all the new fashions and all the latest trends, but they had the same clothes for 40 years with no holes, no wearing out, no breaking threads. How? God supplied their need according to his riches and glory. Matthew chapters 14 and 15, Jesus multiplied bread and fish. I mean, exponentially. John chapter 2, Jesus turned about 30 or 40 gallons of water into wine. I mean, the best wine. John chapter 21, his disciples had fished all night on their own, caught nothing. And Jesus, after his resurrection, he appeared on the beach and he said, throw your net out on the right side of the boat. And the net was super filled. Supply. Never-ending supply with Jesus. Now that's the history. God always keeps his word. Acts 10:34 says God shows no partiality to anyone. There's no favorites. There's no, hey, like I like him better, I like her better. You know, they do better. They're kind of like they're out in front. You know, there is no favorites. It's anybody who believes him that's born again. There was a man called George Mueller who had an orphanage, and I won't go into all the history. I've been reading a lot of biographies for a while of the brothers and sisters who have gone before us. I mean, it's phenomenal, some of the things that they've done. And you look at all the life and just treading on, following Jesus in the midst. I mean, some of them had some really hard times. And God always took care of them. Always. Well, this George Mueller, he started orphanages. He had nothing. I mean, nothing. Two nickels to rub together? Nope. But the Lord said, start an orphanage. And he said, I'm going to believe you to take care of me and take care of them. Man, the kids came in. Sometimes they would sit down at the table, the whole pile of them, and set out all the plates and all the silverware and all the glasses, and they'd sit there. And invariably, someone would drop off food to supply the dinner. And the Lord sustained not just food, but in the building, everything. This is just one example of many, many. My God will supply all your need. He will do it according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You belong to Jesus.
Amen.
You got it. It's yours. Don't default to the government, to the world, to the job, you don't have to. Okay, just be led. Don't go out of wisdom. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Man, we're Spirit-filled people. Listen to Him. Seek the kingdom first. Lord, what do you want me to do? Don't run on your own reasoning. Listen to Him. Let Him lead you through and supply incredibly. So how does this work to gain our never-ending supply? Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, easy. Be anxious for nothing. Well, that's going to put a stop to most everybody right there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition. We have belittled prayer and intercession. I'm afraid that we've minimized it. We've been taught that we don't need to really pray. Yes, we do. I'm talking about generally speaking, believers. We do need to pray. We need to seek God. And as I said before, and you know, Lonnie's been an inspiration to me in this.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I want to tell you that in prayer, pulling yourself up to heaven to see His glory and His majesty and His power and pressing through whatever it takes. When you're praying in tongues and you're seeking Him and you're speaking with Him and you're trusting Him, however you do it, you're on your knees, you're on your face, or you're walking, whatever you're doing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication or petition, let your request be made known to God. What is your request? What are they? We know everything's met, but what's your request? Let them be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your heart and mind. Guard it through Christ Jesus. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. This is how to. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, if we have it. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Is His will good?
Yes.
Is His will to supply?
Yes.
Is His will that every need is met? Is His will to take care of His sons and daughters?
Yes.
Is His will to keep His word and His promises?
Yes.
Is His will to supply a never-ending supply? Abundance?
Yes.
Is that His will? Really?
Yes.
Don't get all religious, because it is. All right? It's not based on you and I. It's based on faith in Him.
Yes.
This is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of Him. It requires that we stay in faith and confidence in Him. It requires that we stay in a relationship. It requires that we spend time. It requires, this is the cost of it, that we present our requests. It requires that we just be with Him, that we pull ourselves up to heaven and seek His face. You'll be amazed at the miracles that will come to you. Lastly, it happens by faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you stay in faith and don't drift from faith in Him, faith creates the substance. I believe Him. The supply is there for my body, for my heart, for my emotions, for my mind, for my spiritual life. Faith is there. But faith in Him, faith creates the substance that we're looking for. So it requires us to stay in faith.
Yes, sir.
To stay in faith. And to press in this relationship, in prayer and intercession. It requires us. This isn't some religious thing. This is the reality of a relationship. And in all of this is the never-ending supply for us. The miracles, the mighty works, the healings, to see the glory of God, to live in it all the time. That's what this is. You have a never-ending supply. All of us do. So when the supply chain breaks or gets hiccuped or whatever, so what? You need toilet paper, go to the Lord. Right? Or whatever. Amen? Will you stand, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if this is not your church, I pray you'd come back and give us another test run. Another test drive. If you have a need today, you know, I'm gonna cover it right now. We're not gonna have any upfront ministry. But when we dismiss, please make your way over to Weber's, those of you that are volunteers with your guest. And we will see you there. We'll have fellowship there. There's coffee and tea and iced tea and lemonade, I think, all ready for you. Again, we'll eat at 1 o'clock. I want to remind you, this is not an all-you-can-eat buffet. This is not, what do they call it, Golden Corral? This is not the Golden Corral. This is Weber's. Now, I want you to understand there will be plenty. Okay? But make sure, that's right, the need's supplied. So make sure you leave enough for everybody and then, you know, we go back for seconds. All right?
Amen.
Okay. Let's pray. Father, You're so good. You're so good. You're so good, Jesus. You're so good, Holy Spirit. Lord, we love You. Thank You for being our never-ending supply. We never have to sweat it or worry. But my heart, Lord, is we present those needs to You right now. Here they are. And Lord, by faith, we believe You that those needs are met and that You will direct us in the in the actions or the cooperation that we need to have with you to see it. And Lord, help us draw nearer,
yes,
to press in,
yes,
to you.
Amen.
With you. To be with you, Jesus. With you, Father. With you, Holy Spirit. To give ourselves so fully to you that there isn't anything left of us. And Lord, I want to thank you for the abundance that you have for us in this life and the next. In Jesus' name. Amen.